unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect Dharma is rarely met with, even 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sesshin. So lovely to be here practicing with all of you in Old Plum Tree Mountain Temple. The house that Mel built. I've been thinking about my teacher a lot lately. Sojourn Roshi would love it if somebody asked him, what should I do to prepare for Sesshin? How should I get ready for Sesshin? And he would say, don't. Get a big kick out of that. Just show up on day one, follow the schedule, and see what happens. You know, I think that's really good advice. It's a sheen through the efforts of many people. We create, co-create this very nice container, this very safe space where we can just completely let go, or as our Sesshin director Colleen said this morning, drop body and mind. Just let it go. Let it go. It's very traditional for a Zen temple to have a mountain name, a name with the word mountain in it, because it is very traditional from, you know, our heritage going back to Tang Dynasty China and many places, including Tassajara. You know, for Zen people to practice in a remote mountain monastery. But a temple in the middle of Tokyo would also have a mountain name, because it's a place to go to at that moment. That can be your remote mountain monastery. And my wish for all of us is that for these 5 days, this is our remote mountain monastery. This is a time and a space where we can be completely devoted to practicing the Buddha way in this rather formal style that we have, that creates the space for us to completely let go. I wish that for all of us. I also wish, I hope you have a challenging Sesshin. I hope that you will find Sesshin challenging. You know, if it's just easy peasy, lemon squeezy, full lotus, ba ba da ba, doing it, yeah. I got this. You're a very unusual person, I'll say that. I never sat a single Sesshin that didn't kick my hiney, one way or another. And that's the truth. A couple hundred or so, I don't know. Every time, get my hiney kicked. Nobody ever said it would be easy. Yet here we are. Keep coming back. Some of you I've known for a long, long time. Keep coming back. Isn't it amazing? And I think that one challenge that many of us may be encountering this particular session is what's happening in the world, what we call the world right now in this nation and elsewhere all around the world. Times of great chaos and uncertainty. Is the US plunging towards fascism? Are we already there? Thinking about Mel? I think he'd have a thing or two to say about that. But what I want to say about that right here, right now, is that I hope for the time you are here, you can drop that too. It's proper, it's understandable. I'm right there with you to be concerned or outraged, angry even. And if I'm just sitting on my black cushion being angry, I'm not benefiting anybody, least of all myself. Toward that end, as I did in Rahasa Sashin, I've turned off all my devices. I'm not looking at the news. I'm not looking at any of it. You know? Is that a willful ignorance, a willful turning away? I don't think so. It's just for Sashin, folks. It's just for this time. Because it's not gonna help me at all. And my experience of doing it in Rahatsu, it was pretty powerful. Just like, you know, oh, no phone, nothing, leave it alone. And I know that's a privilege. I acknowledge that. I was talking about that with Colleen, you know, and told her my plan to do that. And she was like, yeah, it sounds nice. I can't do that. You know, she's a session director. She has to be able to be available, communicate with. But lucky me, I can do that. And maybe some of you can as well, if you like, or to whatever extent you think you can. I highly suggest it. I think that's a wonderful quality about Tassara. Maybe not so much these days, but historically, Tassara's been always like, sometimes like a week or so behind the news cycle. Now there's no news cycle, it's just a fire hose every day. That's crazy making. We have to be able to drop it sometimes. We have to be able to let it go. And that doesn't mean ignoring the cries of the world. Doesn't mean that at all. There's another Dogen fascicle that we didn't talk about. We've been studying the Lotus Sutra this practice period. In case you didn't know, been having a lot of fun with it. And there's another Dogen fascicle that we didn't mention that is peripherally associated with the Lotus Sutra. It's called Kuge, Flowers in the Sky. Sometimes Flowers of Emptiness. The character Ku could mean emptiness, like in the Heart Sutra, or Hozan Kushiki, our beloved abbot, can mean emptiness. In this case, I think it means sky, flowers in the sky. And Dogen goes off onto a lot of riffs about flowers in that particular fascicle. And one thing he says, which I did not want to memorize, the time and place that blue lotus flowers open and spread are in the midst of fire and in the time of fire. The blue lotus flowers is us. Bodhisattvas are born in the fire. Without the fire, there's no need for bodhisattvas. The fire of the world, the crucible of this Saha world, is what makes bodhisattvas. And we can feel that fire externally and internally. What is it that bodhisattvas do? What is it that bodhisattvas do? What do bodhisattvas do?
Save all beings.
Oh. Yeah. Anybody else?
Radiate compassion.
Oh.
Avalokiteshvara.
Thank you, Sam. Yeah.
One of my favorites. Vajnaparamita.
Sam.
Put out the fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Bodhisattvas are dedicated to sentient beings. And this is what bodhisattvas awaken to. There are no suffering sentient beings, no need for bodhisattvas. And that's all of us. And famously, bodhisattvas practice giving. Bodhisattvas practice all the six paramitas. It's, I think, mentioned in every single Mahayana sutra that I'm aware of. It talks about the six paramitas. The first of which is dana, or giving. And it's first because you can't practice the other paramitas if you don't have a generous heart. And one of the greatest gifts that bodhisattvas give is the gift of non-fear. How to give that gift? First, we have to be stabilized. We have to be able to access our center. We have to be able to connect with our breath at all times, even in times of great adversity and distress. That's when it's the most important. When the fires are burning the hottest, that's when the blue lotus flowers bloom. It's a tall order. Hey, you. Be a saint, please. Be a bodhisattva, please. The world is requesting it of us. When I lived in Tassajara, I used to call it Bodhisattva Training Academy. This is also a Bodhisattva Training Academy. And we are having lovely 5 days of intense training. A time to dedicate to just this, doing just this. Mold us and shape us. Help us to grow. Training a vine on a trellis into a beautiful shape. Flowers and fruit can manifest such a lovely way people really appreciate. And people do appreciate it. People notice your practice, whether you know it or not. People really appreciate when you give the gift of non-fear, when you are stable, when you are able to access your center, to stay connected with your breath, no matter what. That's a big deal. I wanted to talk about my koan a little bit. I mentioned previously, Linda and I gave the Shuso a koan to work with, and the Shuso very generously returned the favor and gave me a koan. The Shuso said, "Can Zazen be an act of devotion?" And I said, "Yes." Without hesitation, I said, "Yes." Then, right away, it was a koan. That's the koan. Can Zazen? Shuso asked Greg, "Can Zazen be an act of devotion?" Greg said, "Yes." That's the koan. Because what follows is, well, how? How is Zazen an act of devotion? You know, and this came up because we're studying the Lotus Sutra, and the Lotus Sutra is very devotional in its aspect, devotional practice. We had Reverend McCormick here, such a wonderful man, wonderful teacher. Nichiren, totally devotional practice, just chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, devoted to the Lotus Sutra. How is that in our school? How is Zazen an act of devotion? I've been turning this, and I've had some help, you know, because it's come up in Shosan ceremony and some Q&As. Jonathan asked. I was just like kind of stumbling over, good like this. I think I said something about, what do I want to do with my life, you know? Karen asked Linda, and Linda asked Karen, what is it for you? And Karen said, well, there's bowing and there's chanting. And I was like, bowing, yeah. I love bowing. I think it's just lucky us that we have that practice. Because it's something I do with my entire body. Just lower my entire body to the ground. And yeah, I kid you not, it was middle of the night. I was like, oh yeah, Zazen is something you do with your entire body. Zazen is 100% body practice. Bowing is something you do with your entire body. Devotion is something you do with your entire body. When you see someone you love, it's just like, you know, it's not up here. It's just your whole body. Yeah. Talk about unconditional love, you know. We sit zazen without any expectation. Sit zazen to be in communion with Buddha. To express our devotion to Buddha. To manifest Buddha in this body. In this body, and it's something we do with our whole bodies. So yes, zazen is an act of devotion. Devoted to the prospect that we are Buddha. Devoted to the prospect that, to quote the title of Norman Fisher's book, the world could be otherwise. We don't have to be caught by the cycle of suffering. We don't have to be caught by the wheel of samsara. A better way is possible. And I firmly believe that well, of course I believe this. I mean, I'm a Zenist. I'm sitting up here wearing these Zen robes. Of course I believe this. You know, I often say it's not for everybody, but for me, this is how I am working on getting this devotion into this body for the benefit of others. Right, Linda? Bodhisattvas are dedicated to that. That's how I think it's done, in the body. Well, I also said in this maybe a couple of mini talks in one of the classes, the last class, I talked about the formless repentance that is mentioned in the Lotus Sutra, and Susan asked me about that. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to talk about that on day one. So it's day one. So I'll just say a little bit about that. First off, chapter 28 of the Lotus Sutra is where Samantabhadra shows up. And it's a lovely chapter. However, What I'm talking about is in the, you might call it epilogue. If you have the threefold Lotus Sutra, there's a sutra before and a sutra after, bookends. There's an introductory sutra called the Sutra of Innumerable Meanings, and there's a sutra afterwards called the Sutra on the Meditation of Samantabhadra. It's in there. It's in there where Samantabhadra talks about formless repentance. And yeah, I find it interesting that also in the Flower Ornament Sutra, the Avatamsaka Sutra, the very end, such just amazingly beautiful scripture. At the very end of the massive, massive sutra is the vows of Samantabhadra. And that's where we find the formal repentance that we do. You heard it in our priest ordination that we just had, where Lori and Peter ordained Joe and Clay. And is it we start with repentance, admitting that you're a human being, you know? And that's in the Avatamsaka Sutra. All my ancient tangled karma from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born through body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow. In the Sutra on the Meditation of Samantabhadra, which comes after the main part of the Lotus Sutra, in the Threefold Lotus Sutra, Samantabhadra offers this other kind of repentance called formless repentance. And it's been translated many ways, but here's one I like. The whole ocean of hindrances from past actions arises from illusions. If you want to repent, you should sit upright and reflect on the true nature of things. All sins are like frost and dew. The sun of wisdom can dissipate them. For this reason, with all your heart, you should repent of the six senses. Well, what does he mean by repenting of the six senses? Could be a whole nother Dharma talk. But I would say briefly, the way I understand that is something else from Dogen that chanted many, many times at Tazahara, the Kendra Koan, where Dogen says, to carry yourself forward and experience myriad things is delusion. That myriad things come forth and experience themselves is awakening. So this repent is turning back and letting the myriad things come forth and experience themselves. This is how I understand repenting of the six senses. And sit upright. Contemplate the true nature of, what's this translation say? Reflect on the true nature of things. Yeah, in Japanese it's jiso, which is also in chapter 2 of the Lotus Sutra, where very famously it says, only a Buddha together with the Buddha can understand the true nature of reality. Same word, jiso. And I think probably what Suzuki Roshi was pointing to when he always said things as it is. When we sit upright, without expectations, not grasping at anything, not pushing anything away, just allowing the myriad things to come forth and experience themselves without judgment, we have this golden opportunity to just be a clean slate. Nothing else going on. You are Buddha. In that moment, you are Buddha. This is the opportunity provided by Sesshin. This is the gift that we all give each other in Sesshin. I'm sitting up here on this little mini-ton, currently facing out into the room. I'm so lucky I get to see all these Buddhas, all these Bodhisattvas sitting so strongly. It's incredibly inspiring, incredibly inspiring. And I thank you all. I thank you all for this practice, which is so meaningful, whether you know it or not. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Not trying to modulate or modify your experience, just allowing the myriad things to come forth and experience themselves is also an act of devotion. It's an act of faith, actually. That's a word that a lot of people have trouble with. So maybe I'll just say trust. How often have I heard Sojourn Roshi say, just trust your practice. Trust your practice. I will conclude with a little bit more of Kuge. These sparks and flames are the place and time of the blue lotus opening and blooming. All sparks and flames are within the place and time of the place and time of the blue lotus opening and blooming. Know that in a single spark are hundreds of thousands of blue lotuses blooming in the sky, blooming on the earth, blooming in the past, blooming in the present. Experiencing the actual time and place of this fire is the experience of the blue lotus. Do not drift by this time and place of the blue lotus flower. I'll repeat that last sentence. Do not drift by this time and place of the blue lotus flower. That's pretty swell advice for Sesshin. Stay present. Stay present, y'all. Stay present for whatever arises. This is the blue lotus flower blooming. Hundreds of thousands of blue lotuses. That does sound like the Lotus Sutra. And when I look around, this is what I see. I see hundreds and thousands of blue lotuses blooming in the midst of the fire. Thank you very much. don't know. It's very traditional to take questions, Berkeley Zen Center. I toyed with the idea of maybe I shouldn't, because it's Sashin. Just like, let's just sit, let's devote ourselves to Sashin. But I cannot. Gary.
No microphone.
That's good water.
We had a look at potential hand raising.
Beg your pardon? Oh, I can see if somebody has their hand raised in the Zoom swings. Hi, y'all.
Hi, Greg.
Yes, Gary.
Thank you for your talk. Very good. Enjoyed it. Buddha together with the Buddha. Mm. It seems like that statement. You know, I've heard it phrased differently, like a Buddha and a Buddha together with a Buddha. It seems to turn on that together with, and I wonder what you could say about that, or if you could say anything about that.
Well, here we all are. We are here together. We practice together. I'm not very good at Zazen. It's not something that comes easily to me. And I have done this. I can go somewhere by myself and sit down and practice Zazen. But I almost never do. Almost never. For me, this is something I do in community. This is something I do as a Sangha. I take refuge in Sangha as the perfect life. Because I really think that's, I mean, why it's, you know, one third of the triple treasure. Because this is, as they say in the 12-step groups, how it works. How it works. It works through our interaction. It works through our being with each other.
So you see Dokusan and practice discussion as another example of it?
Definitely. Definitely, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Nice. Peaceful, settled. Yes.
Oh, it's settled a little bit.
Thank you very much, Greg Roshi. You encouraged us, as Colleen said this morning, drop body and mind here during Sashin. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? When we're not in Sashin, in other words, what's the balance between taking care of what's in front of us, not getting caught in dropping the stuff that maybe distracts us from the busyness of the so-called world after Sashin and prior to Sashin?
Yeah, that is the question, actually. Genjo Koan. Right, the koan of everyday life. My probably less than adequate response is as I said in the beginning of this talk, you know, we have this golden opportunity right now to cultivate this settled feeling, to really study the self, to study this body and mind. And connect with, you know, in particular, connecting with the breath, staying with the breath. I think for me, and I think for Sōden Roshi, this was key. This is key. This is elemental. And that's something that we can do all the time. Even if you're having an argument with somebody, that's very challenging to do. If you're having an argument with somebody, am I connected with the breath? Can I find my center of gravity? Very challenging. And I feel that, you know, what we're doing right now, this golden opportunity, it's also challenging, but in a different way. And we're really giving ourselves this chance to cultivate that so it becomes more accessible in times when it's more challenging, in times of adversity and distress. We can still, even, you know, maybe not 100%, but any amount is good. To whatever extent we can stay connected with the body, stay connected with the breath, is a good. To me, it's just like, yeah. So that's how I see it. To continue this practice, as we say, Gyoji, continuous practice, whether it's on or off the cushion.
If I understand you, dropping body and mind is no different than connecting to breath and feeling the body.
I think when we are able to really connect with this present experience without the distractions, without the concerns, the judgments, the worries, whatever it is that's going on, which, you know, they're all valid. If you think they're valid, they're valid. What can I say? But we have the capacity to not do that. To whatever extent we can, is good. Yes, letting go of our concerns,
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a couple questions online.
Oh, thank you. It's Sue.
Are you so surprised with that technology works? It's amazing. Thank you for this talk. I am going to be thinking about what you said about Donna, the gift of Donna, the gift of non-fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about, I don't remember much of it, but I read The Fire Monks,
mm-hmm.
and you all who stayed to fight the fire and save Tassajara. My goodness, how did you deal with fear? How do people deal with fear?
I think each person in their own way. Linda Galyon always says, courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is being able to go forward in the presence of fear. We're all going to experience fear. By the way, I did not stay and fight the fire. I was down there, I was putting sprinklers on top of roofs, but then my actual work practice position was treasurer CFO, and our controller, Cliff Wynn, called me and said, we're broke. Because the guest season cash flow went, the guests all disappeared. There was no more cash flow. Cliff said, you gotta get down here, we're broke. So I left and went back to doing something other than putting sprinklers on top of buildings.
Thank you for all of that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Clay, then Carol.
Thank you.
You gotta hold it up like this. You hold it horizontal.
Good. Thank you very much for your talk. We've been talking about a Buddha and another Buddha. I'm wondering if you can have a Buddha without another Buddha.
I think that in theory, you know, the Lotus Sutra talks about this, the other vehicles, and one of them is the way of the Pratyeka Buddha, the self-enlightened Buddha. So, you know, the Lotus Sutra includes that. It's very inclusive, the Lotus Sutra is. This is, all these paths are good. They ultimately lead to the one vehicle. But if your practice is Pratyeka Buddha practice, okay, that's fine.
Thanks.
Sure. Carol?
Thank you for your talk, Greg. How do you deal with sleepiness? It could be for the early hours, you know, an aging body, difficulty sleeping. And then we come to Zazen and it's challenging to stay present, to stay in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And is that really Zazen?
I agree. I may not be the best person to talk about this because mostly that has not been my problem. Mostly I have my pain and agitation to keep me awake and I practice with that. I feel like dear departed friend Jeffrey Schneider, he would say, when somebody asked him that, Al, how do you deal with that? He'd say, lucky you, you're so relaxed during Zazen, you can fall asleep. That's amazing. I think whatever's going on, if it's painful and agitated, it's painful, agitated Buddha. If it's emotionally upset, it's emotionally upset Buddha. If it's sleepy, it's sleepy Buddha. That's all. It's very important that we be able to accept ourselves as we are in each moment. We can't go around saying, oh, I reject that version of myself. You know, that just, it doesn't fly. It's dualistic thinking in the extreme. So whatever's going on, it's important to be able to accept it and just be with that. You may not like it, I don't blame you. You may not like it at all, but if that's what's happening, then welcome to Sleepy Buddha.
So in other words, still come to Sashin, regardless of, lack of sleep.
I have a bumper sticker in my cabin. Lynn and I, we still call it the cabin. Up there in the apartment that Berkeley Zen Center has very generously given us to stay in. A little bumper sticker says, "What would Mel do?" I think that's what he would say.
Well, he did say too, it's all Zazen.
Yep.
So I'll take that.
Me too. I think our time is up, and I thank you all for your kind attention.